Good morning again. Last week, Nate started us on our fall series talking about the church. How are we the church? Who and what are we supposed to be? And specifically, what does faithfulness look like as North Valley Friends Church? And so to remind us that we're here last week, and for those of you that weren't here, here's the passage from last week. It comes from Ephesians 2, 17 through 22. The great preacher of peace and love came for you, and Jesus' voice found those of you who were near and those who were far away. By Jesus, all of us have access to the Creator in one spirit. And so you are no longer called outcasts and wanderers, but citizens with God's people, members of God's holy family, and residents of God's household. You are being built on a solid foundation. The message of the prophets and the voices of God's chosen emissaries with Jesus, the anointed, the precious cornerstone. The building is joined together stone by stone. All of us chosen and sealed in Christ, rising up to become a holy temple in God. In Christ, you are being built together, creating a sacred dwelling place among you where God can live in the Spirit. There's all these images about the church. It's like you're trying to describe this indescribable thing. It's a building, and then today we're going to talk about the body. And what struck me about this passage from last week were the phrases, being built. We are being built on a solid foundation. In Christ, we are being built together. This is active. This is current tense. There's hope in this. Christ is active and alive, and we are uniting together around Christ. Jesus is the head, the center. It's Jesus who we reunite around, who we model our lives and our churches around. And it's both an encouragement and sometimes a discouragement that the kingdom is here now and not yet. Meaning, God isn't finished with us yet. And I don't know about you, sometimes I wonder, when will I ever get there? I mean, is this possible? And most of the time, I'm thankful that God isn't finished with me yet. That there is still hope for growth and change. And I'm still being built on a solid foundation. And that I'm being built together with all of you. And so today we look at Christ being the head of the church. Before we jump into that, let's take a little look about what it is not. In Christianity Today, there's an article by Tom Nelson, who serves as a pastor in the Free Church, who identified four distorted images of the church. First, the image of the church being a gas station. For some people today, the church is a place where you fill up your spiritual gas tank when you're running low. Get a good sermon, and it'll keep you going for the week. Right? I mean, it's similar when folks will say, well, I left that church because it just wasn't feeding me anymore. I wasn't getting anything out of it. All right, second image, distorted image. The church as a movie theater. For many places, the church can be a place of entertainment. You go for an hour to escape, hopefully in comfortable seats. You've got your cup of coffee. Leave your problems at the door. Come out smiling and feeling better than when you came in. Okay, third, the church as a drugstore. For some folks, church can be the place where you feel where you fill the prescription that will deal with your pain. And for many folks, the church is therapeutic. And the fourth distorted image that Tom Nelson identifies is the church as a big box retailer. Read Costco, right? That's saying Costco without saying Costco. Other people can see the church as a place that offers the best products in a clean and safe environment for you and the whole family. The church offers great service at a low price, all in one stop. For many people, the church is a producer of programs for children and young people of all ages. Now, it's possible you found yourself in one of those images, and I'm not highlighting these to shame any of us, because there's elements of truth in each of these examples, and that's where we get sideways, is when you take the element of truth and it veers off, right? It falls off the rails. So hopefully when we come together and worship together, we feel encouraged. Hopefully we feel like we can bring our pain and that healing can happen by gathering in Christ. And it's true, we have programming for all ages. So without accountability with each other and with Christ, we can fall into one of these unhealthy images, and sometimes pretty quick. One of the problems with these distorted images is that the image of the church is all centered around ourselves. It's about us. It's about consumption and what we consume, what we get out of being church together. How do I benefit? And I think God's image for the church, for us, offers something greater. Something beyond just ourselves. And friends, for us, it begins with Christ as the head of the church. And so today's passage comes from Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. One of the simple yet profound images that comes from this scripture is that of a body, right? You got Christ is the head and we are the body. So we're the arms and the legs and the elbows and the toenails and other parts. The church belongs to Christ, not because we decided to make Christ the head, but because he's the head and decided to make us his body. I understand it's a two-way street. We choose Christ also on some level. But really, Jesus set this up. Christ has gathered us together and is gathering us. We are the people of Christ. The body, us, serve at the direction of the head. Part of our calling is to be responsive to Jesus, and it's an orienting to Jesus. It's a submission to Christ as the head. We are all connected to the head. In fact, we are nothing without the head. I hate to say it, a body may lose a limb and still go on surviving, but the body cannot lose the head and still survive. Christ directs and will respond to the head. And we all respond to the head. And so when Christ suffers, because we're all connected to the head, we suffer. When a part of the body suffers, we all suffer. So in practical, pragmatic terms, what does this look like, right? In our current culture and time where I was just in my normal everyday life this week, right? And somebody said, yeah, you do you. You know, that feels like that's our culture right now. You do you. Individuation and individuality prevails. Be original, be yourself, go against the grain. And as Quakers, we do believe that all humans are created in the image of God. And so we all have that unique flavor of God. However, we're not created for isolation. When we join together, when we do this thing that we try to do every week and every day, we are submitting to that being formed by Christ. We're submitting to being the church in our God-created uniqueness. And friends, that's when we bring about the kingdom. This is the very essence of being church, and this is why I believe in church and in the power that can come from the church. And in the past few years, the institution has been knocked, and it's been a little difficult to be part of the institution. But this is why I am, because Christ guides us and directs us, and there is incredible power that can come from being together. Reconciliation, redemption, forgiveness, wholeness, freedom, all these things are possible and even likely in God's kingdom. And this is why we come together around Christ. So a few years ago, I first saw this image of the church from Colin. Here you go, Colin. No, it's good. So, no, it is. And then he has reasons for different colors, and there's a sad face. So I took his image, and I changed it a little bit, representing us, using our logo. Do you have that one? Oh, yeah. So I think looking at both of these, maybe we all realize that neither Colin nor I should go into a future of graphic design. And what I'm trying to do with the change in logo was using the faces from our banner, so hopefully that represents us gathering around Christ at our center. We are united around Christ. What I like about this image and what really works is that we all have a different perspective of Christ. We all come to Christ with our different experiences, our different cultures, and our different backgrounds, different baggage, and different gifts. We see Christ from different vantage points. There are some of us that are closer, and some of us that are further back. Some of us are locked onto Christ and focused. And some of us are a little distracted. Some of us have turned totally 180 degrees around. But as the church, we are all gathered around Christ. It made me think of this image. Maybe you've seen it before. This image of the elephant where, I think you can all see it. It's a fan. It's a spear. It's a snake. It's a tree. It's a wall. It's a rope. Depending on where folks are on the elephant, your perspective changes. Are they all sharing truth about the elephant? Yeah. Similarly, when we arrange ourselves around Christ, we bring our unique selves and share together our experience of Christ, and we need each other. My experience of Christ doesn't look like your experience, and some of us might have similarities, and we're going to have some differences. And by sharing together, we represent the kingdom in a fuller way. This is an important reason why we need to share together and why we need to listen to different perspectives rather than our own. I believe that's one of the truths, one of the examples of that Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's why we share our differences and our experiences. We need each other and we're better together. And as we individually and corporately encounter Christ, we are united. And as we grow closer to Christ, as we go closer to the center, we go closer to each other. Being a church together doesn't mean we all assimilate to one another. This isn't the Borg. But rather, our shared identity in Christ transcends our differences. I believe that when we discuss our differences, listen to each other, and honor that of God in each other, we exemplify what the kingdom of God can really look like. And I realize that I say this, having had the yearly meeting split, and after key members from North Valley have left in the last year. I cannot preach this sermon and ignore that. So this is truly a time of grief. And one of the reasons why I felt incredibly humbled in this whole process, I don't think the split was God's hope and intention for us. I do see why it happened and why it became too difficult to continue to struggle together. So I realize I'm preaching about something I wasn't able to do, and I confess that. Because I believe that ideally with Christ as the center, that wouldn't happen. And I still believe that we're better together with our differences and that we need each other. Otherwise, friends, we're going to be a church of one. We could continue to divide and divide and divide until you have a church of one. As we orient ourselves to Christ, there may be ways that Christ asks us to give up our own agendas. And I've thought about this quite a bit lately, especially in the last few weeks when I've watched many members of our body responding to the needs of the asylum seekers. Many members of this church are giving up quite a bit of their time and resources and gifts to serve people that are hurting. And I have talked to many of you that feel as though this is Christ's work and that you are responding to that of Christ and people you encounter at the respite center or driving to and from Sheridan. Christ asks us to sacrifice our own selfish wants to serve others and each other. And these friends right now are modeling this for me. What ways does Christ ask us to sacrifice our time or gifts for service to the church, for service to Christ? As we gather around Christ, there might be some friends that aren't ready to fully jump in, and we need to make space for them. There might be curiosity, but they're not ready to jump in the pool. So there's a tension between, as people gathered around Christ, that it's part of our calling to help folks feel welcome and not lose our integrity as a gathered people by giving up who we are called to be in Christ. Our integrity is to Christ and what faithfulness looks like to Christ, not to each other. We also don't get to choose who walks through the door and who desires to be church with us. I had this little inside joke with a friend once who said, "It seems like every time I decide in my heart that I have an enemy, they start coming to my church." Right? That's the power of church. I mean, I think that sometimes God just does that and is laughing. Because we got to work it out then. By using the faces on our logo, I hope you can imagine each of us gathered around Jesus. That there's Keith Baker and Jessica Trout and Max Berg and Marion Perry, all of us with different gifts, gifts to lead, gifts to serve, to give. We are invited to attend to those gifts and free people to use them for God's glory and for the sake of others. Rather than insisting we're all called to function in the exact same way. I have heard this historically here at North Valley. Folks that would say, "Oh, I'm not called to go on a kipo, but I sure am glad that our church participates in that way." Or maybe they work on the days that ReThreads is open, but they bring clothes to donate and are active in other ways. We each are a valuable member of the body. When we're gathered around Christ, when we're called to be the church, there are always pieces of being in community where reconciliation needs to be practiced. And we have some places in our body that need some healing and restoration. Can we as North Valley bless each other when we're called to other churches? Can we thank each other for their contributions and gifts and service, and free each other to be called elsewhere? The discipline of love gets tested in this model. Loving each other is a choice. We choose to be church together, and we choose to believe the best in one another, to serve one another and unite around Christ. No one forces us to be church, but when we unite around Christ together, we sign up for this relationship, both to each other and to Christ. And it's the reason why I love the church, in its messy and wild and wonderful and slow and hard and beautiful relationship that it is. And I'm grateful to be church with you all. So friends, let's continue to listen to Christ and to each other. Let's practice what it means to submit to the authority of God and unite around Christ. And we're going to do that in our open worship. And if you feel like God has laid a message on your heart for all of us to hear, I ask that you please stand and a microphone will be brought to you. There's a query for you to consider. If it's helpful, if it's not, ignore it. The query is, what does my faithfulness look like as part of your church? Let's listen together, friends.